Jesse Corcoran Podcast.
Dear Santa, I wrote, but you ain't brought me nothing. I sent you a whole gift list, but I still haven't got none. I sent two letters back in autumn. You must not have got them. It probably was a problem with the elves up there or something. Maybe them midgets didn't know that Christmas was coming. But anyways, what's been up, man? How's your reindeer? I put cookies on the roof for them to eat when they get here. You missed my house this time. That's okay, maybe next year. Wake my ass up then, and we'll have a light beer. On my list were some things that I want you to bring me. When you get a chance, please drop them all down my chimney. What I asked you for was PlayStation from Sony, and Play-Doh, and Legos, and skates, and a pony. That's all that I want, and this year I've been good. So please, fill up that sack, and swing by my hood, if you could. Truly yours, your biggest fan, this is Stan. Dear Santa, I can't believe you forgot me again. Ain't shit sitting underneath the tree in my den. You didn't bring Legos or Play-Doh or Sony. How am I supposed to get to school with no skates or a pony? I saw you at the mall, sang about you in choir. When my friend called you fake, yo, I called him a liar. Now I'd like to grab your neck and set your beard on fire. You know that song about the grandma who got run over by a reindeer who came down and landed right on her? She got crushed on Christmas Eve, now me and Grandpa, we believe. That's kinda how this is. You could've made me believe too. Now it's too late, I'm about to convert to a Jew. And all I wanted was a lousy gift under the tree. But now I'm f***ed up cause you forgot me. I love you, Santa, we could've been together, think about it. You ruined it, now I hope you can't sleep and you dream about it. And when you dream, Ma, I'll be down in a minute. I hope you dream about elves kicking you in the nuts. And Frosty the Snowman icing you up the butt.
Stanley!
Okay, Ma. Santa, I'll explain this real simple. I'm going to see the rabbi. He's waiting down at the temple. Even circumcision can't be much worse than what I've been through. So next year at this time, sing a filter fish. Happy Hanukkah, St. Dick, because Stan's turning Jewish.
A lump of gold, I'm wondering why I got out of bed at all. I can't believe it's Christmas morning. Supposed to be the day to death the hope, but he forgot again, and I'm so mad.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
It is Wednesday, December 15th, 2021. There are 328 days remaining in our American democratic system, as we have known it. How you doing, kids? It's JC. Well, breezy and humid and warm are the adjectives being used this morning to describe the weather in St. Louis on the 15th of December. There's an idiot in Oklahoma by the name of James Imhoff, and he was the one who stood on the floor of the United States Congress a couple of years back holding a snowball. And he gave this insipid speech where he's holding up the snowball and you see this? This is a snowball. How can there be global warming if there's a snowball? Which is idiot logic, and also the first indication you'll get from anybody who doesn't understand the difference between climate and weather. Okay, so there's an idiot there, but we have our own idiot now, and that is Attorney General Eric Schmidt, who he finally said he actually came out and issued a statement yesterday saying that masks don't work. Easily one of the most dangerous and irresponsible statements anybody can make, let alone a politician. But this guy is running. He's running. He's running. He is trying to appeal to that Trump base. And you got a guy who has actually now said those words. Meanwhile, Cornell University closed, I guess it was yesterday, 900 cases in their school, but were also fully vaccinated, showing again how dangerous this thing is and how contagious it is. So they finally just said, that's it. Go home for the holidays. Go spread this shit somewhere else, but get it out of our school. The NFL yesterday reporting 37 of their players tested positive for some sort of virus, some version, whether it's the Delta or the big O. 37 to me seems like a lot. We are inching closer and closer to the whole idea of cardboard fans again. You know, we laugh now when we recall stories about people jumping off cliffs and stuff when there was a complete solar eclipse. People thought it was the end of the world. Wasn't that long ago, you know? A couple of hundred years ago, that's all. People see the sun disappear during an eclipse, jump off a cliff, think it's the end of the world. We laugh at that stuff now. But a couple of hundred years from now, assuming we're even still all here, we won't be, but, you know, our descendants, think there's a chance they're going to be laughing at us? So wait a minute, let me get this right. You know, kids in school, let me get this right, teach. Like 2 years into this pandemic, you had like 800,000 people dead, and there was a cure, or at least a shot that you could get that would mitigate the symptoms, so even if you got it, you wouldn't end up in the hospital and die. And people thought there was a little tiny computer chip in the vaccine, and so they wouldn't get it. And so then a lot of those people who wouldn't get it ended up dying, even though they didn't have to? Yes, that's about right. I had this guy yesterday who was yakking away on Facebook because he said that because of the mask mandate at the pageant, this will be the first year ever that he did not go over the Christmas break to see El Monstero, the Pink Floyd tribute band. He didn't go to see El Monstero because his doctor told him he can't wear a mask. And so I did a little research of my own last night and looked for doctors who have told their patients you can't wear a mask. And you know what I found? There aren't any. You got a couple of quacks here and there, but any legitimate doctor is not going to tell a patient, don't wear a mask. All this stuff about, oh, I'm breathing my own CO2. Well, no, you're not. What makes up the CO2 that comes out of your lungs is they're very, very small particles that actually go out of the mask when you breathe out. But the particles that cause the virus are larger, and so when you breathe in, you can't breathe them in, or at least not many of them. You can't breathe them in because those are larger than the, I guess you would say, the holes in the fabric. So just to repeat, you breathe out your CO2, small particles go through the mask. Bad stuff, the virus, doesn't come in through the mask. I always say, you hear about these complex surgeries where, you know, somebody does something just incredible to their body, has some sort of terrible accident. And so you hear about these surgeries that are like 18 hours long where the doctors are in there and they know it's going to take almost an entire day of surgery to give this person the best shot of surviving or using a limb again or a hand or something like that. And so, you know, 18 hours later, they're like, okay, I mean, we did the best we could. Let's see what happens here. But we're very hopeful that we, you know, have successfully reattached this guy's hand or arm or something like that. These doctors have been wearing their masks, their surgical masks, for 18 hours. Nothing ever seems to happen to them. And I know I made this point a couple of weeks ago. Maybe you heard it, maybe you didn't. But let's just say that there is a little tiny Bill Gates computer chip inside the vaccine. All right, now you're sitting right next to the doctor where he sticks the needle into the little vial and then sucks out how many milliliters or whatever it is, sucks those things out. So where's the chip? Is the chip so small that it could be drawn in through a hole in a needle, which is barely the size of the width of a human hair? And if that is the case, how come when you draw out the serum, you know, into the needle, you know, what happens if you suck out like 10 of these computer chips? What if you suck out? None. See, none of this makes any sense at all. None of it. But I'm preaching to the choir. If you're here listening to me every day, chances are you're not a crackpot. Speaking of Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos, Biden's going to be in, I guess he's going to Kentucky. I don't think he's going to Edwardsville today. I can tell you he's not going to stand on a stage and shoot rolls of paper towels into the crowd. And I've said this, but if somebody were advising Jeff Bezos, if that was my job, you know, to sit in an office and try to make Jeff Bezos look good, I would say, go fly into Kentucky and just start dropping $100 bills out of the sky. Don't, you know, you could drop $20 million worth of $100 bills out of the sky and you wouldn't even feel it. Well, it turns out now, get this, 2,750 people, all right? Not quite 3,000 people have more wealth than half the planet combined, and nobody's doing nothing. It'll be interesting to see what happens now, because I think it's Pfizer who's got the pill that they said yesterday is this close to being released to the public, and you'll be able to take a pill instead of having to get a shot, and that's going to greatly mitigate your exposure to this whole thing. What will people make up as a reason not to take the pill? Is there a computer chip in the pill too? Let's start x-raying all the pills. Let's start chopping them up like it's cocaine. I'm going to find that goddamn computer chip if it kills me. Oh, and the attorney general of the state of Missouri says masks don't work. I'm just absolutely stunned that he finally got around to saying it. He's been sort of hinting at it for a long time, but he finally came out and said the words. Just unbelievable. Well, we're closing in on Christmas. We get in about 10 days. I think we get in Christmas Eve or Christmas morning or something like that. By the way, I've flown on a holiday. I've flown on Christmas Day before, and it's the greatest thing in the world. Nobody wants to fly on a holiday. You got the airport to yourself. I don't care. Save some damn money. But I haven't been home for a couple of months. You know, the original plan was just basically snowbirds come down here during the bad weather in St. Louis and then be back in St. Louis for the nice weather. But the pandemic has screwed all that up. But I'll tell you what I miss when I'm down in Florida. I miss Mission Taco. I miss Schnucks Fried Chicken, Lion's Choice, and a decent bowl of pasta, too. You'd be surprised how rotten the pasta is when you get out of St. Louis. Come down to Florida, you got great seafood. I mean, eat grouper, fresh grouper. You know, you're eating a grouper sandwich for dinner that was swimming around in the ocean in the Gulf of Mexico that morning. But it is funny to be sitting in Central Florida and look at a menu and somebody has got listed St. Louis style ribs. And believe it or not, there's a couple of places down here that do like Emo's style pizza and also do toasted ravioli. I'm in real trouble because the guy right down the street set up a pizza truck. It is Chicago-style deep-dish pizza. And I haven't been over there yet, but everybody I've talked to who has is like, oh, my God, is this good? But it will be interesting to see on the ride back from the airport where I stop first, Schnucks Fried Chicken or Lion's Choice Roast Beef. It's going to be one or the other, and it might be both. I've only done a small portion of my Christmas shopping. It's always difficult to buy gifts for a 12-year-old, and I got one of those. The most dangerous toy you can buy your kid for Christmas is a Razor scooter. They've caused over 190,000 injuries in the past 5 years. Balls are next with 108,000 injuries. That includes footballs, baseballs, and every other type of ball. So the fact that scooters have racked up almost twice as many victims is pretty impressive. Actually, toy cars like Hot Wheels are next, followed by building sets that come with small pieces because they're choking hazards. Frisbees and boomerangs are fifth, followed by games and game parts, dolls and action figures, toy boxes or chests, tricycles, and balloons. But right behind Razor scooters, balls! But if you've been listening to this show around Christmas time for the last 20 years or so, you know that already.
It's fun! It's happy football!
Yeah,
Yes, it's Happy Fun Ball, the toy sensation that's sweeping the nation. Only $14.95 at participating stores. Get one today.
Warning. Pregnant women, the elderly, and children under 10 should avoid prolonged exposure to Happy Fun Ball. Caution. Happy Fun Ball may suddenly accelerate to dangerous speeds. Happy Fun Ball contains a liquid core, which, if exposed due to rupture, should not be touched, inhaled, or looked at. Do not use Happy Fun Ball on concrete. Discontinue use of Happy Fun Ball if any of the following occurs: itching, vertigo, dizziness, tingling in extremities, loss of balance or coordination, slurred speech, temporary blindness, profuse sweating, or heart palpitations. If Happy Fun Ball begins to smoke, get away immediately, seek shelter, and cover head. Happy Fun Ball may stick to certain types of skin. When not in use, Happy Fun Ball should be returned to its special container and kept under refrigeration. Failure to do so relieves the makers of Happy Fun Ball, Wacky Products Incorporated, and its parent company, Global Chemical Unlimited, of any and all liability. Ingredients of Happy Fun Ball include an unknown glowing substance which fell to Earth, presumably from outer space. Happy Fun Ball has been shipped to our troops in Saudi Arabia and is also being dropped by our warplanes on Iraq. Do not taunt Happy Fun Ball. Happy Fun Ball comes with a lifetime guarantee.
Happy Fun Ball. Accept no substitutes.
My favorite part of that is Happy Fun Ball may stick to certain kinds of skin. 10% of Americans have injured themselves setting a Christmas tree, maybe because 18% of us have done it drunk. 72% of pet owners say their pets have knocked their tree down or ripped off some ornaments. 68% of us have left our tree lights on overnight. That's not very smart. That's a fire hazard, especially if they're old lights or a real tree or a combination of both. 5% of people who set up a tree this year have lights that are over 10 years old. Oh, that's reassuring. Another 11% don't know how old their lights are. A New Jersey man facing up to 20 years in prison after stealing over 100 chainsaws meant for Amtrak projects, and then he would sell them all, a lot of them through Facebook buy, sell, trade. And again, on the news last night, they did a story about this, Facebook doing basically nothing to weed out criminal activity, and they say it's like shooting fish in a barrel. They just sit there with their computer on. They look at Facebook buy, sell, trade. They call up or they send them a note and they say, yeah, we're interested in one of those chainsaws. They show up, they arrest the guy, and the end of story. And they're like, almost everything we do, almost all the arrests we're making, especially at this time of year, is through Facebook buy, sell, trade. So be advised. You've been warned. And we talk about favorite holiday films all the time, but what about holiday film characters? For example, the bird lady from Home Alone 2. There's actually people who watch Home Alone 2? You got to be kidding me. All right, number 9, the conductor from the Polar Express, Jack Skellington from The Nightmare Before Christmas, Gizmo from Gremlins at 7, number 6, Ghost of Christmas Present from Scrooged, John McClane from Die Hard, here we go. Number 5, The Grinch from Dr. Seuss and How the Grinch Stole Christmas at number 4, Buddy the Elf at number 3, Kevin from Home Alone, and number 1, Ebenezer Scrooge from A Christmas Carol. The fuck? Nobody likes Jimmy Stewart from It's a Wonderful Life? Oh, and I wanted to play this for you, too. I rarely play this because I've always been on pretty much classic rock stations, and people don't want to hear from this woman if you're a classic rock fan. But it was on this date in 1996, I was sitting in Los Angeles interviewing, at that time, arguably one of the most famous people in the world, Madonna. And you probably already know this because I've talked about it ad nauseum, but not in the last couple of years. So maybe there's some people who are not aware of this. This interview junket in Los Angeles also was the inspiration for my first book, which was called Real Life Stories of JC and the Breakfast Club, or 20 Minutes in the Dark with Madonna. And here, briefly, is what happened. I've talked about these assembly line junkets, you know, where you go see the movie on Friday night in Los Angeles, and on Saturday morning you get up and you get your little sheet, and it tells you where to be and at what time, which hotel room, which floor, all that sort of stuff. You'll be in there, and these things are rigidly timed because they have, like, you know, 150 reporters from all over the country all lined up and all ready for their interviews. And the only way to do it without it being complete chaos is to just let everybody know this is how we do it. 10 minutes before your scheduled interview time, we better see you sitting in the little green room there or else. And then when it's your turn and the guy from Denver is done and it's like, all right, J.C. Corcoran, St. Louis, come on in. You walk in, you sit down, they wire you up, they go 5-4-3-2, they point at you and you better start. It is an assembly line all the way. I'd be the first to admit that. And you get your, you know, 6 or 7 minutes. Actually, when I started, it was 10 minutes for every interview. And you'd really get to know the person a little bit. Then they started shaving it down to like 8 and then 7. There were some where they gave me 3 minutes. And that was about the time that I started saying, this isn't worth it anymore. And that was 1999, pretty much, when I stopped doing these things. But as I said, in 1996, I'm sitting there getting ready to interview Madonna. Now, normally, they would just have a room set up like in the 10th floor or something like that. And they would have a little one sheet, you know, the picture of the movie Evita. And then you'd have Madonna. And then there'd be a window and you'd see the California landscape, you know, the skyline or something like that in Los Angeles in back. But in this particular case, it was done in the basement in an interior room. And that's when you start realizing, yeah, they pretty much probably have to do this for her safety, because when you're Madonna, you get all these death threats and everything, and there's just crazy people out there. And so they figure, all right, well, you know, we're going to have a security staff, obviously, from the hotel. We're going to have our own security staff that the studio has provided. I'm sure Madonna's got her own security people, too. These people, you don't see them, but you know they're there. And they're doing this in an interior room in the basement. In other words, if somebody wants to attack her, we're going to make it awfully, awfully difficult for that person to succeed. And so I walk in here, I sit down. Hello, how are you? Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to you. You know, are you JC? Yes, how you doing, Madonna? It's my pleasure. All this is going on. There's a wiring me up and the whole thing. And the guy goes, all right, are we ready? Speed, which means that the tape is rolling. Okay, in 5-4-3-2. And I go, I breathe in to ask my first question. And the room goes as black as night. Now, the first thing I think of is power failure. You overloaded the circuit. You got all these cameras and lights and everything like that. Something overloaded, something tripped, and, you know, a janitor will go downstairs somewhere and flip a switch and we'll be back up and running. But that's not how they saw it. And I'm telling you, guys in suits, tall black men talking into their sleeve, these guys started popping up all over the place. And that's when you really got the idea just how much security is present in a situation like this. And these guys were armed. And a guy walked in and very politely but very sternly said to me, we would like you to not move. Can you please stay in your seat? They're thinking it's a kidnapping attempt. And they weren't fucking around. And keep in mind now, we're sitting in complete darkness, total darkness. The only light in the room on the camera, there's a little VU meter, you know, the little needle that moves when you talk. That was the only light, and it was like a like a 2-watt night light, you know, that you'd have in a nursery or something like that. And that was the only way we could even see anything. And after about 5 minutes, I think that the security people all realized, all right, this isn't a kidnapping attempt, you know, and they were thinking maybe I was the guy trying to pull it off. So I had one of those tall dudes standing right in front of me the entire time. But like I said, after about 5 minutes, everybody relaxed a little bit. They realized that it was your garden variety power failure. And they said, we should be back up and running in a couple of minutes. Well, for whatever reason, that couple of minutes turned into 20 minutes. So now I'm sitting there with no cameras running, no recording devices, nothing happening. I'm sitting 3 feet away, 2 feet away from arguably, as I said, one of the most famous people in the world. So we're just chit-chatting now. She's not Madonna now. She's Madonna Chacon from Detroit. And I'm just some guy. We're going on. Now, I had spent so much time vacationing in Michigan and, you know, in the Upper Peninsula, but also right around Traverse City and Wequitancing, Harbor Springs, places like that. Great vacation destinations. And there was a rumor when we had been up there the previous year that this giant sprawling mansion that was being built was actually being built for her. And I told her about it. She goes, no, I know exactly what you mean. I've heard that too. No, my dad lives in Traverse City and he likes it there. So, you know, but I know I've heard that story too. It's not mine. It's not my dad's, whatever. And then we just, you know, continued talking. She had never been to St. Louis. She had never once been to St. Louis. And I told her that there was a radio station, KEZK at the time, that was using her and Michael Jackson in their advertising campaign. And the advertising campaign wasn't, hey, listen to our station, we play Madonna and Michael Jackson. It was, listen to our radio station, we don't play Michael Jackson or Madonna. It was some sort of moral thing that the people who were running the station cooked up. Like, we're so pure as the driven snow, we would never expose our KZK listeners to the filth of Michael Jackson or Madonna. And her eyes just got like as big as saucers. We're talking about this. Then we got talking about the baby. The baby was only 3 months old. It's interesting because this week that little girl has grown up and is doing photo shoots that are, man. But back then, it was a three-month-old baby, and it was Christmas time, and so have I painted this whole thing? Well, then after 20 minutes, the power comes back on. Well, now Madonna and I are old pals. We've been sitting there talking about everything under the sun for 20 minutes. Well, now the tape is rolling, and now we're recording. And here's how it sounded.
Well, let's face it. In the position that you're in, you must have people lining up 24 hours a day to kind of kiss your ass.
Really?
Well, no.
No.
I think it seems like that to people like me. But I guess what I'm leading up to is, how weird is it for you to be writing a 4-page letter to the director of this movie saying, you got to let me do this?
Well, it's not really weird because I haven't proven myself as an actress, or I hadn't up until now. And this movie was going to be an undertaking for any actress to do, not to mention how difficult it was going to be to sing the music. So I didn't think it was strange. I mean, in my heart of hearts, I did feel like I was the best person for the job, but I knew I had some convincing to do, and it didn't strike me as strange.
Which brings us to the next issue, because of the nature of this piece of work, audiences that have never bought a CD of yours, have never been to one of your concerts, probably haven't really been particularly interested in you, are now going to be watching you. For people in that position, as they watch you, what would you like them to notice about you as a performer?
Truthfully, I wouldn't like them to think of me at all. I would like them to think of Eva Peron. I would like to know that I disappeared inside of her and that what they were watching up there was not me but her.
Good answer. Damn good answer. Yeah. All right. So as you look around at your contemporaries, what kind of work is getting your attention these days? What kinds of people earn your respect?
People that take chances. People that take risks. People that have opinions.
Do you have any names?
Well, I love Alanis Morissette. Surprise.
Does she know that?
I should hope so. Yeah, I think she does. I don't think I would have signed her to my label if I didn't love her.
Yeah, it's got something to do with it. Right?
Yeah. I mean, by the way, I don't think that there are a lot of people out there taking risks. I think there are, I mean, I can. I think there's a lot of filmmakers out there that are taking risks. Did you see The English Patient?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that incredible?
Mm-hmm.
Did you like it?
Yeah.
That was a risk, I thought. I tend to like more cutting-edge music, films, stuff like that.
Most of the interviews you've granted over the course of the last dozen years or so have been with the big shot interviewers and the publications and the big shot networks and stuff like that. You've spent the last few days talking to us locals. Any observations? Do people seem to have their sights in the right place as they talk to you?
I think most people are very genuine with me. What do you mean by sights in the right places?
Well, I mean, it's easy for them to look at you and to focus on all the wrong places and just ask you about the baby and stuff like that.
Well, there has been a lot of that, but for the most part, I think people are treating me very fairly and in a very positive way.
And this will be the first holiday with the baby. You're starting to get a little mushy. God, I did. The first year
really,
we had
even,
our daughter.
Because she's only 2 months old, and I'm thinking, you know, the thing is, every day is Christmas. I can't stop shopping for her. And I think it's going to be a lot more fun when she can actually open up her own gift. For now, it's like, you know, I buy a present, I wrap it, I unwrap it, you know, and then she grows out of it in 3 weeks.
You got a good one on your hands here, Madonna. Thank you very much. Best of luck to you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And again, I wouldn't have gotten away with a couple of those questions had we not had that 20 minutes to really get to know one another. So she trusted me, and we had a lot of fun, and she was very, very nice. She looked absolutely radiant, and she's like a lot of performers right now, people that I have great admiration for, but who also disappoint me regularly. Most of what she's doing right now is like, come on, babe, are you sticking out your 65-year-old ass on stage anymore? Come up with a new way to invent yourself. That's what you've done your whole career, reinventing yourself. You got to reinvent yourself now, too, and this ain't it. But that's the way it goes sometime. And before we go, we want to wish a happy birthday to my dear friend Eric Mink, who was a member of our radio shows for years and years and years. Looking forward to seeing him during the Christmas break when we're back in St. Louis. Happy birthday to Minko the Pinko. And that's it. The J.C. Corcoran podcast for Wednesday, December 15th, 2021 is in the can. 328 days remaining in our democratic system as we have known it. We talk about politics here only when it is absolutely unavoidable. Otherwise, we're just having fun. 7 o'clock Monday through Friday, it's absolutely free. Everything is archived. So if you miss a podcast, go back and pick it up. Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Email jc at jcontheline.com. My daughter has informed me that she will be making an appearance on the podcast tomorrow, so we look forward to that. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.